Somebody say Earl. I call Earl and the Lord. Back in my day. Amen. Earl had to be the deacon. Because I call him and the Lord. Back in those days. Amen. We got to see, we can't just do what we want to do and then when things seem like they're about to destroy us, then call on the Lord. We have to stay within the limits, stay within the boundary, and let iniquity go. Verse 19, I'm getting close to the finish. He says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. Look how good God is. He said, even the fool. And you know, people, old people used to say, God take care of fools. Even the fool in his mess, in his iniquity, in his transgression, God still looks at him and say, you know what, I'm going to take care of that fool. And so if God do that for the fool, what about the rest of us that believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? What about the rest of us that if he does that for the fool and I'm trying my best trying to make 100 because 99 and a half won't do, but every now and then I slip and I'm like Asaph, my foot almost, and sometimes not almost, it do. And I got to realize that even though I fall, that I got to get back up and get back in line, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What about that? If God does that, and this is encouraging to me, because if God looks at somebody who said that he ain't existing and live like he don't exist, do what they want to do, and he delivered them in their distresses in the moment that they cry, I cry out to him, I know he'll hear me. Quit wondering if God will hear you and know that he hears you. Quit wondering if God will deliver you and know that he's a deliverer. Quit wondering if God will save you and know that he's a savior. He is a savior. Amen. You see, you don't need to wonder if God will do those things, because all those things, that is exactly who he is. He is a healer. He is a savior. He is a friend. He is all of those things. He's a deliverer. Come on and say amen now.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Our faith to another level. We're believing God in 2018 for new breakthroughs, new beginnings, and new blessings. I need to tell you, it's going to require greater faith. And I would not fool you and make you think you can just say it and it happens. You're going to have to do something about it. And so I'm going to this month enter into a series called Working with Your Faith. Working with Your Faith. The Spirit of the Living God gave me this, and I want to help us today, which is one of the reasons why I want to recap some information that I shared in Bible study. And today I'm simply going to be sharing some teaching thoughts from the text. But it's designed to do five things, and I think you'll hear about these throughout the month. But it's designed, one, to build your faith, two, to develop your faith, three, to exercise your faith, four, to mature your faith, and then five, to strengthen your faith. And working with your faith is essential to helping you to see in a manifested form the things God said he'll do in his word if we use our faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith, it is impossible to please God." And you need to know that if you don't activate your faith, God has no biblical responsibility to respond to any call that is faithless. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to have our reader read verses 22 to 33. And I'm only going to deal with about four or five verses. But the reason why I want to make sure we get the details of the story, and I'm going to highlight and spotlight what the Spirit of the Lord gives us in this service. All right, reader.
Matthew 14, verse 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." Verse 23. "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Verse 24. "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves from the wind, for the wind was contrary." Verse 25. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." Verse 26. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear." Verse 27. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Verse 28. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Verse 29. "And he answered and said unto him, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Verse 30. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." Verse 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And he said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Verse 32. "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Verse 33. "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God."
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, this story is not an unfamiliar story to most of us, and many of us have heard it in many various settings, but I pray that the Spirit of God will give you some fresh water from an old well today. I think that as we look at the text and recognize that all things are relevant, there are things the Spirit of the Living God brings out of a text that ministers and meets the needs of the people, especially when they have need of that word. And I believe it's going to do such a thing today. Remember, there are five areas of faith that we're trying to do a deal with today. And again, that's to build our faith, develop our faith, exercise our faith, mature our faith, and strengthen our faith. At one point in time, you're going to be in one of these arenas, and it is going to be helpful to all of us, from the babes in Christ to the mature in Christ. We're all at different levels. One of the things that you're going to recognize, even with Peter's faith demonstrated in this word today, and it is that his faith at this point was not perfected. His faith was not perfected. But I want to share with you and show you that even though your faith is not perfected yet, it doesn't mean that you can't do great things. Now, one of the things that I want us to look at, and this is going to be a different presentation, because the desire here again is so that you can hear and heed the nuggets in this word that you're able to gather and hold on to and then practice them so that you can gain the profit from this. This is one of the reasons why I want us to walk through it and just simply share some teaching thoughts from the text so that you'll know you can go back to the text and find this truth anytime you feel led to do so, anytime you need it to encourage your faith, anytime you need it to help build up your faith. The first thing I want you to focus on is the fact, let me just again just touch back. Jesus has just got through ministering, and he's constraining the men to get into the ship and go over to the other side. And he has said, well, listen, I'm going to send the people away, and I'm going into a mountain and pray. And so he does that, and he sends the disciples away on the ship, and then he sends the people away, and then he goes up in the mountain alone to commune with God. One of the reasons he does this is because if you are in any sense ministering out of God's Spirit, it requires, again, a fresh anointing to refill you. If you pour out, then you must be filled up. And I don't care whether you're witnessing, whether you're ministering, whether you're doing missionary work, if you're dealing with the Spirit, God always anoints us for the assignment. God doesn't just anoint you to be anointing you. He anoints you to accomplish a certain thing. That's why many of you don't have an anointing on your life, because you have not tapped in to your assignment. God's not going to give you power to do nothing. So when you look at someone God is using greatly, you've got to know they are tapped into their assignment. God has given them an anointing so that they can fulfill and accomplish that assignment. And that only happens when you are actively involved in what God has called you to do. So now Jesus has ministered to the crowd. He sends his disciples away. He goes up into the mountain and he prays alone. He fellowships with the Father, receives a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. Now, the record says that the winds are contrary on the sea and things are going on. Wind is blowing, waves are rising, etc. It's the fourth watch in the morning. It's between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. And it's still dark out on the water. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. The men see Jesus, or so they think it's Jesus. They cry for fear because they say it's a spirit. One of the reasons why they say it's a spirit is because they've never seen that level of faith in operation on the part of Jesus. And see, one of the things that you're going to recognize is every time God takes you to another level in faith, you've got to be careful not to be fearful of it. See, so many of us are used to the same old, till when God starts moving and doing something different, we get afraid of it, wondering what's going on. How is he doing this? What is he doing? Instead of being open to God to do whatever God desires to do, we want to keep God in a box. Now listen at this. There were 12 men in the boat who saw the same thing. 12 men. And Jesus says to all 12 of them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. He spoke that to all 12. But the Bible says they were fearful or filled with fear. They were literally terrified, if you will, of what was going on. Now, Peter says, Lord, if it really is you, paraphrase, give me an instruction to come on the water. Because one of the things Peter has learned at this point is that you can't operate in faith without an instruction, without a word. So Peter knew he needed permission from Jesus to be able to do a miracle like Jesus was presently doing. He needed the confirmation of the word of Jesus Christ to get out of that ship and to walk on the water. My brothers and sisters, here is one of the important points you ought to always know. You cannot walk by faith without a word. You need a word to undergird your faith. And so when Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come out on the water to thee. And Jesus simply said one word. Come. Now, Peter, listen at this, knew the voice of Jesus. Bible says, the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. And so Peter knew this was Jesus's voice. And so Peter recognized something that the other 11 men did not. And that was that the Lord Jesus, representing his Father, according to the word, always honors faith. Faith. Faith, faith. Brothers and sisters, let me say this to you. These men in the ship were all in the same situation. But one man decided to use his faith to get out of the ship and to do what Jesus had already demonstrated could be done if you believe. Peter said, Lord, I can't speak for the rest of them, but if it's you, bid me come out on the water. So one of the things, again, I want you to see is that Peter doesn't worry himself with the doubters, but rather he fixes his focus on the one who feeds his faith. Did you get what I just said? He had 11 men in the ship with him that were doubters, and only one man was working with his faith. Here's what I want you to know. There are always going to be folk around you working with your doubt. But you need to focus your faith on the one who is feeding your faith. He, listen, was not in the ship. He was on the water. Now, the 11 men are around Jesus, and none of them said when Jesus said, Lord, if it be thou, biddest me come on the water,
come on the water to thee? None of them said, me too. None of them said, Lord, don't forget about me. None of them said, I volunteer to come also, Lord. All of them, no doubt, in their own mind. You could imagine the situation. The winds are blowing, the waves are raised, and it's in the nighttime. Jesus is appearing to be a spirit because they know that flesh can't walk on water. So they either have to believe it's Jesus or doubt in fear and think that it's a ghost. The Bible says a spirit, or translated a ghost, and they are pulling for the ghost. They think in their mind, because listen, they're trying to walk in the flesh right now, not in faith. And so here's what they're thinking. I'm just using my sanctified imagination. They're dealing with the experiences Jesus has had with water. Well, the first miracle Jesus worked was with water. He turned water into wine. Amen. All right, so yeah, I remember him doing that. Another one probably thought, yeah, wait, well, he also met a broken woman who had been misused by six men, and the man that was messing with her right now wasn't even her own. And he told her everything she ever did, and he cleansed her at the well and sent her back to them low-down broken brothers and told them, come see a real man. He did that at the well. That was water. But then he went to the land of the Gadareans, and that was a man who had been possessed with demons. And he fell in the water sometime and in the fire sometime and cut himself sometime. But when he met Jesus, yeah, they found him clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind. But you remember Jesus caused 2,000 demons to come out of that man, and that was some pigs about a mountain feeding, and he sent those demons in the pig, and they ran down the mountain into the water and drowned. Well, I remember we were on the sea, and Jesus was in the ship, and he was sleeping, and we were wondering, was he gonna let us all die? Because the waves were coming in the boat, and we said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And they woke him up, and he said to the winds, peace, be still. That was four times. But never had we seen him walk on water. It was different. It was unusual. It was beyond any faith expectancy they had had. That meant this was the fifth time they dealt with him with water. But how many of you know that Jesus and some of the greatest words only use five letters? Grace, G-R-A-C-E, five. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, five letter. Power, P-O-W-E-R. Truth, T-R-U-T. H. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, and oh, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, five in Greek means grace. And it's in this time that maybe only Peter realized that faith was going to get him out of the situation that all of them were in and out with Jesus. I think I need to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that your faith must be so strong that you don't listen to those who are in the same situation with you. I said, your faith has to be so strong that you don't live. Can't you imagine? I said, Peter, now wait a minute. Now, don't be crazy. Ain't no man ever walked on no water. We don't know if this is Jesus or this is a spirit. Man, Lord gives you good sense. Don't get out there acting no fool now. Look at how all of this is going on. Peter didn't even pay no attention to them. His focus was fixed on the one who fed his faith. And when Jesus said, come, that was sufficient for Peter. What that tells me is, my brothers and sisters, you have got to learn how to be responsible for your own faith. Don't let anybody else determine your faith, the level of your faith, or the limitation of your faith. You have got to believe God for yourself. Every man in that ship could have gotten out and walked on water if they would have believed enough that the Lord Jesus would have caused them to do it when they would have joined in with Peter and asked him for the permission to come, and he would have said to all 12 of them, come, but only one asked. Sometimes you got to learn to ask for yourself, because there are some places that you're going to go, there are some things you're going to do is going to require you leaving everybody else behind. Y'all not hearing me today. You see, the people of faith are not going to stick with the people who are faithless, because their faith is not going to allow them to stay in the place that they know is not for them. And so Peter focused on Jesus. Let me share with you some other things. First thing I need you to know again, well, not first thing, but I don't know how many points you ought to have been written down if you write me. But let me say this. Peter did not allow, but let me say this. He didn't build his faith on the notion that he had to convince anyone. He did not build his faith on the notion that he had to convince anyone. What does that mean, Pastor? It means this. Jesus, God, the Word, never shares your faith with anyone. Your faith is your faith. Their faith is their faith. Your faith is what God is holding you responsible and accountable for. Mama can't be responsible for your faith. Daddy can't be responsible for your faith. No one else is responsible for your faith but you. And when you recognize that, you're going to realize that God is requiring you to do some things in the faith realm that he won't do for you or allow anyone else to do for you. Let me share this again with you. If you recognize that you don't have to convince anyone else, the question is, why are you waiting on anyone else? Peter didn't ask, how many of y'all believe I can do it? Because they didn't even believe that it was Jesus doing it. They thought it was a spirit. He didn't bother himself with their opinions. Why? Because it doesn't make sense for you to get the input of someone who doubts. Why are you asking somebody who can't do anything about your faith? Let me share this with you. Peter was so inspired by his faith, and this is something important to listen in and to get, that his faith was inspired by someone, Jesus, who did something he wanted to do. And what he wanted to do was not be in the ship, but rather on the water with Jesus. So why would he ask those in the ship, do you think I ought to walk on the water? See, so many of you